Hello, my name's Christine Burns. I'm a transsexual woman, and I've been one of the leaders of the Press for Change campaign for transsexual people for well over a decade now. I'm speaking to you here from my home in Manchester, and what I'd like to do in this short film is to talk to you about some of the remarkable events that have taken place in 2004, and perhaps look ahead to some of the other issues that still confront transsexual people and the reasons why it's so important for us to continue working, as we have done in the past very successfully, with members of other minorities. By far the most important event in 2004 for transsexual people was obviously the passage of the Gender Recognition Act, which received royal assent on July the 1st this year, after 6 months of very fraught debate running through the House of Lords and then the House of Commons. I must say it's been a very similar type of event to the passage of the Civil Partnership Bill, with the same kind of enemies facing the bill and the same supporters, of course. However, because the bill has had the full backing of the government from the word go, it was more or less assured of passage. The only thing we didn't know was whether it was going to emerge from the process as quite the same bill that went in. But remarkably, we managed to get the bill passed almost completely intact. The bill was necessitated by a European Court of Human Rights decision in July 2002, and this held that the United Kingdom was in breach of two of the fundamental rights contained in the Charter of Human Rights. The first was Article 8, which relates to the right to private life, and the second was Article 12, which relates to the right to marry and to found a family. The new bill provides a number of very important provisions for transsexual people. Above all, it starts by providing a mechanism for transsexual people to obtain a new birth certificate. This obviously has a lot of importance from the point of view of people's privacy. It's quite remarkable how many places in society still require a sight of your birth certificate, particularly if you want a job in any part of the civil service. But hand in hand with that, perhaps the more important thing still, was the legal recognition that follows from a successful application to the new gender recognition panels. And the bill is quite unequivocal on this. It says that once somebody has been recognised, then their recognition exists for all purposes within law. So in one go, the bill, the Act now, sorry, the Gender Recognition Act, has removed all doubt as to how people should regard transsexual people following their recognition. Following my recognition, I will be in law for all purposes, no ifs or buts, for all purposes, a woman. Just as importantly, the Act also provides for our privacy, very strong provisions. The thing that's perhaps affected transsexual people most in their lives is the fear that when one person gets to know of your past — I'm certainly not ashamed of my past, but I don't want to be gossiped about either — so that when people obtain information about somebody's medical history, in my case the fact that I underwent gender reassignment many years ago, those people are required by law to keep that information to themselves and not pass it on to anybody else who they think might be interested to talk about it in the saloon bar, in the pub. Also following recognition, the Act provides the mechanism for a transsexual woman like me to marry at last. Ironically, the law has insisted for well over 30 years that I'd be perfectly entitled to marry another woman. However, it blanched at the idea that I should be able to marry a man. I think that's perhaps quite ironic in view of all the other problems that the successive governments have had in addressing the issue of same-sex marriage. On that topic, however, the bill does contain a flaw. There is a problem for those actually who've either got married through that provision, so they've married a lesbian partner, or who remained married to somebody they'd previously married before they transitioned from one sex to the other. And unfortunately, at the moment, the law still requires that those people, in exchange for the right to be legally recognised, have to become divorced to end their marriage. They can the next day take out a civil partnership, but they lose many of the same sorts of rights that differentiate marriage and civil partnership at the moment. So these are still issues that transsexual people are going to have to confront in the years now that follow the initial implementation of the Gender Recognition Act. I can't finish any account, of course, of the events that have surrounded transsexual people in 2004 without a mention for Nadia, of course, Nadia Almada, who at the end of July 2004 won in very convincing fashion the fifth series of Big Brother, I think to a lot of people's surprise. I think part of the biggest surprise was the degree to which the public took to her. And I don't think that they took to her because she was a transsexual woman, but because of the honesty with which she portrayed the issues that raised for her in making a life among a group of other people. And I think that when she won, I'm sure I wasn't alone in crying my eyes out with the rest of the nation to watch the real pleasure on her face to see, perhaps for the first time in her life, that people really could like her for just the person that she is. I think the event also took news editors completely by surprise. I think they began with the expectation that they'd be able to exploit Nadia in just the same way as they've always been used to exploiting transsexual people, particularly transsexual women, in the press. It was only, however, as the bookmakers' prices began to reflect that something very strange and unusual was happening, that they woke up and realised that if they were to be in line with their readership, then they were going to have to revise the way in which they spoke about her. I think it's probably too early to know what the long-term effect of the public getting to walk in Nadia's shoes for 10 weeks will be. Nevertheless, I think that perhaps brings us on to what I think marks out the sort of things that we have in common. Gay and lesbian people and transsexual people, and I'd like to move on to that now. I think one of the commonest questions I'm asked when talking to gay and lesbian people in particular is what we actually have in common between themselves and transsexual people. In some cases, of course, where the transsexual person identifies as gay or lesbian, then the issues are the same on the basis of their sexual orientation and the issues that brings. But what is there between people who identify as heterosexual and lesbian and gay people? Well, I think perhaps the most obvious and thing, and I think it's been brought home to us most graphically this year, has been the degree to which we share the same enemies. Not only does the public perhaps tend to look upon us all as just being one thing, queer, but our most vociferous enemies, certainly going through Parliament with the Gender Recognition Bill and the Civil Partnerships Bill, it's being confronted by the same kind of people with the same ideologies. And obviously some of the most obvious people in that boat are Baroness O'Gahoyne, who famously referred to us as nasty, litigious people, well, she would know, and Norman Tebbit. I think it would be unfair to say that all our opposition comes from one quarter, though. I think one of the things that we perhaps need to iron out for the future still is the relationship between transsexual people and some parts of the GLB community as well. I think one of the saddest things for me is the way in which transsexual women still come under a lot of fire from particularly lesbian feminist separatists, people like Julie Bindle. And I can't quite get over the irony that Julie Bindle can actually find herself on the same side as people like Baroness O'Gahoyne and Norman Tebbit. I can't think of any other kind of issue that would actually see them standing side by side, unless it was Earth's invasion by flesh-eating aliens. I think also, though, that transsexual people and gay and lesbian people also encounter the same kinds of violence. For instance, in the last 30 months on the streets of Washington, an average of one transsexual woman a month has been murdered. Now, that's a horrible statistic, and unfortunately, I think that we're probably not in the same boat over here in England, although we can't tell, because separate statistics aren't kept about hate crimes in the UK against transsexual people. Well, I've talked about some of the areas in which we share common cause, but lastly now I'd like to talk about some of the areas where transsexual people have completely separate issues all of our own, and which we would really like people to understand, and sometimes, if they can, to help us with. The Gender Recognition Act and its passage means that certainly one big issue is now resolved for us. However, I think that also then brings further emphasis on the things that won't go away simply because we have legal recognition. The thing about bringing in new laws is that they don't change people's attitudes overnight. We had a Sex Discrimination Act in 1975, and 29 years later, people are still discriminating against women. So bringing in new laws alone isn't all we need to do. There will be an enormous amount of work still to counter some of the areas of discrimination against transsexual women in particular, but transsexual people as a whole. We're still hugely discriminated against in terms of employment. Surveys which we've undertaken illustrate that transsexual people, after they've gone through a transition, tend to hold jobs at one or two rungs below their level of competency, below the sort of level that they had jobs before. So we still need to look at ending those kinds of discrimination. We also need to continue to work at ways in which to open up new opportunities for transsexual people as well. During the passage of the Gender Recognition Bill, there was a lot of talk, for instance, about the issue of transsexual women taking part in sports. And some of the successes we've seen during the year have come from that area, where particular transsexual women, such as, for instance, the professional golfer, Mianne Bagger, have had a measure of success in persuading their sporting bodies to now start to treat them as women and allow them to compete alongside other women on a fair basis. That's nothing about cheating or having an unfair advantage. But actually what the Gender Recognition Act requires sporting bodies to do is to look at the realities and stop making the decisions on a level of knowledge that really belongs behind the bicycle sheds. The biggest issue of all for our future, and I'm sure we're going to be fighting this for many years, is the relationship between transsexual people and medicine. It's never been a very happy relationship for all the 75 years that transsexual people have been going to doctors for help with expressing who we are. There are some things you can't do on your own, unfortunately, even with the best and sharpest of knives. There are questions of access to medical treatment. That's right from the beginning, from the type of referrals, the type of greeting that somebody gets when they go to see their GP and explains that they are a transsexual person, or they believe themselves to be. There are certainly issues to do with the quality of treatment that people are offered and the choice that's available to them. These are big fights that we're going to have. And then once you've got inside the system also, there is a massive issue of the relationship that transsexual people have with the doctors treating them and advising them. And that's been a very unhappy area in the past. To finish this film, though, I'd like to reflect on the fact that we've actually come this far with so many people knowing so little about us. The Gender Recognition Act was passed with perhaps most of the public not actually having much of a clue who transsexual people actually are. And so I'd like to finish for the end credits with some pictures of some of our brothers and sisters, the sort of everyday transsexual people, which something like the Gender Recognition Act is designed to help and to support. And I'd like to thank you for spending so long watching me, listening to me. I hope as a result of this film you understand a little bit more about the struggles that we face, and perhaps between the lesbian and gay communities and the transsexual people, that we can actually continue to work together as we've so often successfully done in the past, and recognise not only what we have in common, but also the essential things that we can learn from because of our differences as well. Good night.